Hello, and welcome to The Collision, Collider's podcast about movies, TV, and more. I'm managing editor Matt Goldberg, and with me today is associate editor Adam Chitwood.
Howdy.
Today we will be talking about the 86th Academy Awards. We are wearing tuxedos for this podcast because we are super serious about how much these awards matter in the grand scheme of things in terms of cinema history, and that's why we all remember How Green Was My Valley and not Citizen Kane.
Yes. That's
the name of the second one. That's going to be the ultimate example, by the way, anytime. Because, and you know what the thing is, How Green Was My Valley is not like a film that's like, oh, that was fucking terrible. It's just in the long view of history. No one knows.
No.
But you're in the moment, and you kind of hope that the thing you select will be good. And then there are other ones where they select the winner, and you've already forgotten who won. Like, who was the Best Picture winner in 2011? And it takes you a few moments to actually remember who won Best Picture in 2011. So, it was The Artist.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't remember that movie.
I mean, it's cute, but we're talking about the Best Picture. The Best Picture of the hundreds that came out and were eligible for victory. And there's the one that got it. And it's, of course, it's all campaigning and back and forth. And Adam, you've been doing a great job covering this all season with Oscar Beat. So why don't you to run us through the race? How did we get to where we are today? At least, I'm not going to make you run through in every category, but Best Picture. How are we? What was the rise and fall in the tide of history as we come up on the Oscars?
Well, there weren't really any big summer movies last year. Like, the year before, we had Moonrise Kingdom and a couple others that were kind of on our radar. The first big, quote-unquote, Oscar movie of this season was The Butler, which came out in August. And part of that reason is because it had the Weinsteins backing it. So, you know, they were starting the chest thumping and getting everything going. And everyone was like, oh, The Butler's a lock for Best Picture nomination, and it's a lock for all of these. And I was like, I'm not so sure. But that was our first one, but it quickly fell away when the film festival circuit came about, and we saw the premieres of 12 Years a Slave and Gravity and Dallas Buyers Club all hitting within a span of like 2 weeks. And, you know, so those are, oh, I guess Blue Jasmine was one in the summer. I'm sorry, I forgot about that one. But that one was, people were,
that was more about
of,
Kate Blanchett,
yeah,
than the
there
movie
were
as
more,
a whole.
More iffy on that one. And so, yeah, it's kind of ironic that the two biggest films out of the film festival circuit are now in a virtual tie for Best Picture, which are Gravity and 12 Years a Slave. Those were the two that everyone was talking about the most coming out in last September after the film festivals. And then we had a wait. We had a long wait because David O. Russell was trying to finish American Hustle and Martin Scorsese was trying to finish Wolf of Wall Street. And those were kind of coming down to the wire and they were unseen and everyone was kind of like, you know, what's going to throw a wrench into the season? What's going to be the big one from December? And a lot of people were already putting American Hustle at like number one or number two on their predictions list without having not seen it.
Yeah.
And they did come out and, you know, they were well received, but the hype for American Hustle before having been seen was already a bit high. And then we had a couple of Cannes Film Festival contenders come back around. That's a long game. It's always a long game when you premiere at Cannes and you try for the Oscar season, but Nebraska and Inside Llewyn Davis both premiered there last year and did pretty well until the critics, for some reason, just forgot about Inside Llewyn Davis. I mean, they gave it stellar
reviews.
I don't think critics
ever forgot about it. I think the problem was, is it just in terms of the Oscar field? I think the film was, it somehow became overshadowed for numerous reasons. Because, I mean, there was a 2-page article in the New York Times with like 400 critics like put it on their year-end best list, and CBS Films tried their hardest. I got so many marketing materials for Inside Llewyn Davis. They sent me like the script and the soundtrack and like some really cool stuff. They really tried their hardest to push that movie. And I think for a best guess for me on Academy voters is that they just found the main character too unlikable.
Well, I mean, my argument was that it was forgotten by critics because the critics groups didn't give it shit. I mean, it got a lot of nominations, but it
Oh
never
yeah,
won.
critics group. Yeah, I think you're right. As groups, as individuals, critics got behind it. As groups, it got overshadowed by the big ones.
And then we had, Captain Phillips came out in October, and that was well reviewed, and that was one to kind of keep an eye on. There were a couple other possible contenders that people were kind of wavering. August Osage County, which everyone thought might be a lock for quite a few nominations, didn't quite hit as well as people were expecting. Same with Saving Mr. Banks. Everyone was like, "Oh, that's obviously it's right up Hollywood's alley," and I was holding on to that one, even though I didn't like the film enough. I was like, "There's no way they're not going to pat themselves on the back by giving this Best Picture nomination." But
And kudos to them for not patting themselves on the back for that one.
And then in their stead, we had a couple of kind of late surges by Philomena, which became,
Philomania.
I mean, the Weinsteins had August Osage County, The Butler, and Mandela, which they were putting all of their money behind those three. And then Philomena just gained some steam around the back end and ended up being the Weinsteins' only big film in the race. So they kind of had that on their hands. And then Spike Jonze's Her, which I would say is this year's critical darling. That's the one that, all the critics kind of rallied around. It won quite a few critics things, and it got in. So
I would say it's the critical darling in the sense of it's a film that critics rally around that the Academy sort of would acknowledge. Like, I think to say it's a critical darling is sort of because I think 12 Years a Slave and Gravity were also incredibly well reviewed. Like, this isn't like sort of a
I mean critical darling in the fact that like it's a smaller movie, it's not gonna have the box office, but it's one
That's
that
fair.
yeah, it's
It doesn't have a prestige push in the
yeah,
sense of a main, well, gosh, 12 Years a Slave is not mainstream.
No, but it has had a massive push, and it's one that Her is
No,
the
that's
one that
true.
you go up to people on the street and they're like, "Which one is that again?"
You go up to people on the street and they go, "Her?"
Yeah, Her. And then
And
Dallas
life just
Buyers
gets to
Club.
be an Arrested Development joke forever.
And then Dallas Buyers Club came out of nowhere. I mean, that premiered at Toronto Film Festival alongside Gravity and 12 Years a Slave and everything else, and everyone was talking about the performances, but we all kind of underestimated how big of an impact it would have on the race as a film as a whole. I kind
Yeah,
of thought
which
it would be
is.
more of a performance piece, but it ended up getting screenplay and Best Picture nominations.
Yeah, very surprising on that one, especially for the best picture. But I mean, as we know, the acting block of the Academy is the largest one. And I guess if you have a star, a film with two, when it looks like two of your when your best actor and your best supporting categories are going to the same film, maybe the film gets in there as well. So, in any case, so yeah, so those were the late surges, and is there anything else, or is this where we? Well, those were the nominations. Those were
Yeah,
the nominations.
that's it. I mean, the
But
other.
now that the awards bodies have started chiming, and there really haven't been that many, but it looks like, well, you explain that. What happened with all the guilds?
The guilds were, well, the first guild to come out of the gate was SAG, Screen Actors Guild Award. The actors branch is obviously the largest voting body in the Academy, and SAG went to American Hustle, so everyone's like, "Oh, all right, it's clear that American Hustle has a lot of fans. Maybe that's the front runner." And then came DGA, I believe, which went to the Directors Guild, which went to Cuarón for Gravity, and that is a stellar predictor of the Best Director Oscar, and it's also a fairly considerable predictor of Best Picture. So we had that. And then the Producers Guild, for the first time ever, had a tie between 12 Years a Slave and Gravity. And the Producers Guild is also a major predictor of Best Picture. So it really, I mean, the love was spread around, and everyone was kind of like, what does this tell us? And it does not help us that much.
Damn it, where this thing is supposed to be tied up months in advance.
And then.
Oscar night should be as fucking boring as possible,
Sure.
and now we don't know the one at the end of the night. We have to sit there for the whole damn night waiting to see what won. Damn it!
And the BAFTAs are also, they've become a little bit more important in the past few years, because there's a pretty good overlap between the BAFTA voting membership and then the Academy voting votership. And they chose 12 Years as best film, Gravity as best British film. So again, I mean, it looks like 12 Years and Gravity are in a virtual tie for best picture, with American Hustle being the close third.
I'll just say spoiler, because if it wins, I'll be upset.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. I really, like, if 12 Years wins, great. If Gravity wins, great. I if either of those takes home best picture, it's been better than it has been in years.
Yeah.
That will be a better choice than the past few years have been. If it's American Hustle, it'll be like, yeah, that sounds about right for the Academy.
Yeah, because you, like, look back at The King's Speech and The Artist, and then it goes to Hustle, and you're like, oh, yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Well, you know, it's funny. You go through this whole story of the films that were these front runners. You know, you get that target painted on your back, but Gravity in 12 Years persisted. It wasn't like last year where Zero Dark Thirty was this, like, just had all this critical momentum, winning all the critics' groups, and it's like, but it supports torture, whisper, 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 and suddenly, brr, an Argo rises. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the
Social
year...
Network.
Or Social Network, which is really the nail in the coffin.
That's, and that's always the problem with the fall festival season, is where the studios trot out their big awards. That's one of they use them as a launching pad, but when critics, as some did this year, started saying, you know, the race is over, 12 Years a Slave is your best picture winner, you paint a giant target on that film's back and give everyone, all the other studios who are running their campaigns, and make no mistake, these are campaigns, and there are people hired to run them, and it's not just kind of a, like, oh, I hope we win, you know,
I wish it was like that. I really wish it was like that, like Harvey Weinstein's like, golly, I hope I win an award.
No, it's very targeted. I mean, if you will realize, David O. Russell was on The Daily Show last week, and American Hustle came out in December. I mean, you see Bradley Cooper's on The Tonight Show. You know, they're working it. You know,
I was talking to my grandmother, and she's like, I've seen Matthew McConaughey on everything.
Yeah, and like, that's the point. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, and then, you know, The Social Network comes out and it gets a big target painted on its back, and it gives all the other campaigns something to go after, or, you know, start to, they're like, all right, now we know our competition, so how are we going to counter this?
Yeah, exactly. So it is, and so for people like, well, that's not the best picture, it's like, you have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. Yeah. I mean, first off, obviously it's trying to put a objective, qualitative value on a subjective measurement. It's not like, well, this film won Best Picture, so I guess everything else this year was shit. I can't argue with a block of voters. You know, I mean, a lot of people don't know that the Academy came about, it was created by Hollywood. What they wanted was legitimacy, so they made up an award to give to themselves, which is just kind of messed up when you think about it. Like, you just make, it's like, I want people to respect me more, so I'll make up an award to give to myself. Like, if you went out in public and did that, people would think that's really sad. But if you're the Academy and you add about, and you add, you know, almost 100 years, it's pretty prestigious and it's a big deal. And it's for, again, it's so easy to get cynical about it, and I don't want to, because I do have fun watching it. It was a big thing every year for me. I like the Super Bowl, but for me, the Oscars are like, it's Oscar night, and guessing which categories are going to win what, and, you know, that was before I had to sit at home every year and live blog it, back when I could just watch it and have fun. But even then, you do have to recognize that, for the most part, these are rich and powerful people giving themselves an award.
Yeah.
So, which is kind of twisted, but there is an actual impact here in terms of nominations can change careers and open doors for people. You know, you make a short film that gets recognized at the Oscars, it sort of helps you put your foot in the door, or you're an actor who, even if you don't win, at least getting nominated really does change everything. Ask Demian Bashir, or if you do win, ask Marion Cotillard how her career has been going.
Even
since
Jonah Hill. Ask Jonah Hill what a
Moneyball. Ask Jonah Hill. Well, Jonah Hill, it definitely changed. For Jonah Hill, I would say it took his career, it opened up new kinds of movies. Like,
yeah,
I think
it changed his trajectory.
It changed the trajectory, whereas Demian Bashir now keeps getting to be in the, like, I think without that nomination for A Simple Life, he would have kind of vanished into obscurity, possibly, which would be a shame because he's a really good actor. So I don't want to say that the Academy Awards are complete without merit.
Well,
but...
and my argument has always been that the Oscars can do good. When you,
yes.
When you have a film like 12 Years or Her that gets a Best Picture nomination, the general public knows about it, and they're more inclined to see a movie like that. So a Best Picture nomination for a movie like 12 Years a Slave makes people who are like, oh, I want to know what's going on, so I'm going to go see this movie, go and see this really impactful, important movie. And, you know, if it wasn't nominated, they'd be like, oh, maybe that looks too harsh. Or, you know, in the case of something like Inside Llewyn Davis, you could probably ask most people, like, have you seen Inside Llewyn Davis? And they'd say, what's that? Like, I don't know what that is. So
yeah.
it raises the profile in it, and it's almost like making people eat their vegetables. They're like, all right, you saw Grown Ups 2, but if you want to, I mean, you need to go and see some of these movies now. So,
yeah. Of course, if Gravity wins, it's like, I already went on that sugar rush three times. That's not making someone eat their vegetables in any way, shape, or form. In fact, people get upset at the moments of that film that are in almost anything that isn't like an action spectacle. They get upset at the very simple story, which to me, the story works, but we've had that conversation more than once. So... we've now come to where we are in terms of the nominations and what wins and what's the front runners. And so we now have Adam, do you have the Oscar nominees in front of you?
I do, yes.
All right. We're going to start charging through all 24 categories. Some are going to be very simple. Like, agree, disagree, you know, what's the controversy, you know, what could win. Again, Adam's the expert. I'm the dummy. This will be a good back and forth.
Yeah, dummy, let me learn you.
Yeah, dummy. All right. Let's start from going from the bottom of what I'm looking at right now. Best original screenplay, which already I think is one of the... I think on Oscar night, the ballots are going to be made or, you know... you're going to be made or broken on a handful of categories, which is usually the way every year. But I think other than Best Picture, all of the major ones are pretty much locked up except for screenplay. And Best Picture and screenplay, I think, are still kind of the toss-up. All the acting categories, I think, and director, I think we can put to bed for the most part.
Not supporting actress, that's still...
You think not supporting actress? There's still some controversy there. I think it's been put to bed, but we'll get there. we'll get there. So, Best Original Screenplay. The nominees are American Hustle, Blue Jasmine, Dallas Buyers Club, Her, and Nebraska. Adam, who do you think is going to win?
This was actually pretty close. The front runner coming into it was obviously American Hustle, that everyone thought David O. Russell was going to get his first Oscar, but then Her won the Writers Guild, and it's kind of picked up some steam, and this would be a way for Academy voters to recognize Her in a category when they're not voting. Like, people who like Her but aren't voting for it for Best Picture or one of the other nominations, this would be a way to honor it. So I think it goes to Her, but I think it's going to be close between Her and American Hustle.
See, I think it goes to American Hustle because if American Hustle has to be, with all the steam and all the momentum and everything it's built up, I think it has to get something, and David O. Russell has to get something, considering he's been passed by for Silver Linings Playbook and The Fighter. And so if Her wins, and jumping ahead, I don't think American Hustle is going to win Best Picture. So, and I don't think it's going to win Best Supporting Actress. So from then on out, and oddly, it's not nominated for Best Hair and Makeup. If it were, I'd be like, that's its award for the night. But it's not nominated in that category. So, you know, I don't see it really winning anything unless it takes original screenplay. I think it's going to get the love. I think that's my cynical side speaking. I would be great if Her got it, but I think... at this point, Her has got about as far as it can go in terms of recognition. So that's my feeling. I think it's going to split for American Hustle.
I disagree.
Well, that's good, because I don't want our ballots to be photocopied. No, last year, you know, that was the thing. Last year we did some make or break stuff, and I ignored my gut on some stuff. I was like, well, maybe, like, somehow I got convinced that Emmanuel Riva was going to win Best Actress. I just somehow, like, she's old, and they're like, I too am old, and so therefore you will win. And it just, even though Jennifer Lawrence was going to be the clear winner, I mean, really, last year, I think of all the categories, the only one that was a complete and utter crapshoot was Best Supporting Actor, where everyone was named Chris.
And everyone was a winner before.
Yeah. No, not everyone was named Chris. Christopher Campbell pointed out that this will be the first year in the last 5 years where the winner hasn't been named, the Best Supporting Actor winner hasn't had Chris in his name.
Funny.
That is, there's a little bit of Oscar trivia for you. But yeah, that year was a crapshoot. I think it's going to go American Hustle in original screenplay, but we'll see. I'm glad that we are having an argument here, because otherwise, what's the point of filling out a ballot? Best Adapted Screenplay. Your nominees are Before Midnight, Captain Phillips, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and The Wolf of Wall Street. Adam?
12 Years a Slave. If there is a spoiler, I think it's Philomena.
I agree wholeheartedly. I am going to go with 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah. That's a pretty easy one. And 12 Years hasn't, in all of the kind of preceding award ceremonies or whatever else has gone on, 12 Years wasn't eligible or wasn't nominated. So, I think this is it. And the Writers Guild went to Philomena, which everyone thought the Writers Guild would go to Wolf of Wall Street.
I think 12 Years wasn't even nominated, though. Like,
no, it wasn't eligible for Writers Guild.
Exactly.
I'm just saying that even with 12 Years out of the picture, everyone thought it was Wolf of Wall Street, but it went to Philomena. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's John Ridley, the writer of Red Tails.
Why are you saying, like, the writer of Red Tails? Why are you saddling him with that? Why can't you be happy and, like, John Ridley, the writer of Undercover Brother?
Yes.
It's such a good movie. And then again, I'm one of the people that actually thinks Red Tails isn't terrible. So, in any case, the script for 12 Years a Slave is excellent. It's very well written, and he would wholeheartedly deserve it. So, I think we're on the same page there. Would you agree with that assessment as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's deserving, and yeah.
Best visual effects. Gravity and four other movies.
Yeah. Gravity, next.
Best sound mixing. Gravity and four other movies.
See, I think...
You think Captain Phillips might sneak in there?
Here's the thing with sound mixing and sound editing. If people sat down and looked at them... First of all, the difference. Sound mixing is sounds that are recorded on set, and then sound editing is the creation of sounds. So, but most voters don't know the difference, for one. Number two, I think they are going to look at these technical categories and just very quickly see Gravity and take it off. So I think Gravity wins, but if people were to sit down and consider it, I think Captain Phillips could be a possible spoiler, but I really think Gravity's going to take most of the technical stuff.
I would agree. Yeah.
Because if you sat down and thought about it, I mean, All Is Lost has some really great sound work. So does Captain Phillips.
I don't mean to, like, when I say and four other movies, that's not to say, like, fuck those movies. I'm just saying from who I think will win.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And the Academy at large votes on every single category. Some people don't know this. It's not just, you know, sound professionals voting on these. So.
When it comes to creating the nominees within each category, it is that guild. So sound editors choose best sound editing.
But also have someone like Rob Lowe who is voting for sound mixing. And so, you know,
Lowe loves sound mixing. You don't even know his passion for that craft. Good Lord. Casting aspersions on Sam Seaborn. Not on this show, sir.
Hey, not I on this show. Nothing against Rob Lowe.
Okay.
I'm a big Rob Lowe fan.
You said you are or you aren't?
Yeah, definitely a big Rob Lowe fan.
Okay. We're going to make the show about Rob Lowe.
All right, Westworld. Let's talk about Sam Seaborn.
Yes.
Let's just talk about Sam Seaborn.
Best... Okay, now this is where it starts getting hazy for people, is the short films. Yes. Best live-action short film. That Wasn't Me, Just Before Losing Everything, Helium, Do I Have to Do Everything, and The Warman Problem. I saw all of the short films. Adam, you saw all of the animated and live-action ones?
Most of them. Of these, I saw Helium, Do I Have to Take Care of Everything, and Borman Problem.
Okay. Looking at the Gurus of Gold or Oscar Derby or whatever, Oscar pundits, they're apparently going to go with the Vorman problem as their selection. That doesn't necessarily surprise me. It's a film that feels like it's a It almost feels like a pitch for a much bigger, more interesting film. I don't know how you felt about it. It ended abruptly.
No, I didn't feel. I read your review. I didn't feel that way at all. I liked it a lot.
You liked it?
I thought it ended perfect. I mean, if you go longer, you run the risk of ruining the whole setup. So I think it's kind of one of those that really interesting premise, get in, get out. I liked it a lot.
Okay. Well, then you'll probably be happy on Oscar night, whereas I was rooting for Just Before Losing Everything, which I think is more emotionally affecting. I like the way that it plays out. I thought that was a really strong short film. So, and did you say you saw Helium, Do I Have to Do Everything, and Warm? Okay, so you haven't seen Just Before Losing Everything, so you don't know what you're talking about.
I have not, but yeah. It looks like the pundits are split between Vorman and That Wasn't Me, but most are picking Vorman.
Yeah, That Wasn't Me is... Look, That Wasn't Me was like, yes, child soldiers are bad, and you have raised awareness for that issue in a way that I feel is somewhat predatory for a sense of drama, but whatever. I can see them voting that way, but I think Vorman... If between the two, I'd prefer Vorman wins. Best Animated Short Film, Feral, Get a Horse, Mr. Hublot, Possessions, and Room on the Broom. Let me just say that this year did not have an especially strong animated short contender. There was no The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lessmore. There was no Paper Man. There was, of these five, the one that I found the most charming was Mr. Hublot, because it's kind of a steampunk aesthetic, but it's a story about a guy who adopts a stray dog. And the dog grows, and he loves the dog. Like, that's just, it's just, like, it's like, I'm just a sucker for those kind of stories. I don't say anything among these nominees was horrible, but nothing exceptional. Adam, what about you? What did you think?
Yeah, I felt the same. I enjoyed Hublot. I did not like Get a Horse. That's what everyone's saying is going to win, but I was not a fan.
You just hated it?
Yeah, I did not like it.
Well, that's a strong... I mean, to me, it's like it's such a trifle. I mean, I don't really
well, I
see
mean,
any...
To me, it was more of... I mean, not to overanalyze it or overcriticize it, but it felt almost misogynistic. Like, I get it that they're playing with the tropes and everything, but it's just like, help me, Mickey, I can't do anything on my own. Okay. And I just thought it was kind of bland, but
fair
I
enough.
Mean, obviously I'm in the minority, so.
Look, I mean, I liked Get a Horse, I thought it had an interesting duck a muck thing going for it, but it doesn't work if you don't see it in 3D.
Yeah, and I saw
it in 3D when it played before Frozen, I really liked it, but then I watched it again in 2D, and it's like, this doesn't work as well, because it's lost a very key component of its storytelling. And the thing is like, Paper Man, which was also in 3D, works in 2D. Like, the 3D is nice, and it adds something to it, but it's still a wonderful little story without it. So, that's my feeling. But yes, Get a Horse seems to be the winner. We'll just skip ahead to Best Documentary Short. Adam didn't see any of these. I did. I thought the nominees are Cave Digger, Facing Fear, Kurama Has No Walls, The Lady in Number 6, and Prison Terminal. I thought Cave Digger was interesting. Kurama Has No Walls is pretty interesting because it uses footage from people who were in the middle of it was a peaceful protest in Yemen, and it was a sit-in, and basically probably thugs hired by the government came in and just started shooting into the crowd, and the footage is from people who were not only filming it, but they were the ones being shot at. And it's a pretty powerful film. Unfortunately, it looks like the winner will be The Lady in Number 6, which I thought was pretty awful. It's about this woman, and she lives in England, and she plays the piano beautifully, and it turns out, oh, she is a Holocaust survivor, and her son is a Holocaust survivor, and she's like, music saved my life, and music is God, and it's that I hate, like, using the Holocaust as, like, a manipulator, and the film has this sort of subtext that I find despicable, which is, if only the people had been strong enough, had a strong enough will, they could have made it through. And the way she made it through was her ability to play the piano was entertaining to the Nazis, and her son's ability to sing was entertaining to the Nazis, and so that's how they got to stay alive. That one was a chore to sit through, but it's probably going to win the award.
Yeah, so what I'm saying has an overwhelmingly majority of people picking it to win.
And that doesn't surprise me at all why they would go for it, but I thought it was although it's tough to choose. That one's bad, but then so is Facing Fear, which is I won't go into the plot of that one, but it's basically a movie about how tolerance is important and then relies on a man, what a small world. I was a skinhead who beat you up, and now we both work at the Museum of Tolerance. 20 years ago, I beat you up, and look, here you are. It's like, here, I made a documentary based on a coincidence to make the point that tolerance is good. Thank you. Thank you for the Oscar
tolerance
nomination.
Is good, everyone. Just watch good the South Park episode.
Pretty much.
Museum of Tolerance.
That's a real thing. It's a real thing. I thought it was a joke. All right. Back to the non-shorts. Best production design. The nominees are American Hustle, Gravity, The Great Gatsby, Her, and 12 Years a Slave. Now, this one's a little... Adam, what do you think is going to win? Because this one, I think, is a little confusing.
It is a little tricky. I think it's going to go to Gatsby. In recent years, I mean, normally you would pick the big flashy, you know, movie. But in recent years, they've kind of been going more traditional.
And Great Gatsby is just anything, not flashy.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying, that Gatsby
I know,
is the flashy
I know.
One. 12 Years a Slave would be the more traditional one. But I don't know. I have a feeling it's going to go to Gatsby. You could make an argument for Gravity, but I think
I think
Gatsby is too hard to ignore. My personal pick would be Her. I think the
Oh yeah, I definitely agree with
incredible,
Her.
Incredible, but it's just too subtle for the Academy. It's
exactly. They just no. I would agree. I think it's going to be Gatsby. I think it is flashy. It's very clear to see.
Yeah.
It's unmissable in
and
a
it's
way
pretty.
That
it's good. It's
it is. It's very. I mean, Baz Luhrmann knows how to make shiny movies. To his credit.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So yeah, I would kind of go with Gatsby on that one. Is that the front runner? Or is
yeah,
that sort
yeah.
of a
it looks
split.
Like that's the front runner. A couple of people have Gravity. I don't know. To me, I mean, I guess I could recognize Gravity, but it's so hard to define the production design on that film. I mean, I know
it's really more of an attention to detail thing, I guess, if anything.
Yeah.
More like, but even then, yeah, it's really tough to, you know, what is the production design on Gravity that makes it stand out? It is. It's so weird because that film is such a collection, and you don't want to rule out any one part. But that's the whole thing when you do like when you the whole thing about these awards is you're singling something out.
Yeah.
And for like technical stuff, it's very easy, like visual computer generated stuff. And obviously some of the production design is computer generated. But if you look at it from that perspective, it's harder to see. Whereas Great Gatsby is like, what a flashy 1920s world we live in. And the way Baz Luhrmann uses that production design is much more prominent than the way it's used in Gravity.
Yeah.
So... okay, cool. Best original song, Let It Go and Everyone Else.
Not true.
I know, there's fucking you two. I know, it just feels... you say it's not true, and I don't mean to be dismissive, but I know that there is an outside chance that fucking you two could take the stage, because for Ordinary Love. So let's run the nominees. Someone's even said Feral for Happy could take it.
I think that's a possibility. I was leaning towards Happy recently, just because.
Really?
Because it's up on the charts. It's all over the radio. It's a very poppy, easy song to like. But I mean, I think. And then I started hearing the U2 thing, which I was like, what? And then I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then the other nominee is the Moon Song from Her, which just isn't going to get win. Here's my thing, though. Yes, Happy is on the charts. Frozen has been the number one soundtrack for it's breaking records at this point
yeah.
for how long it's been at number one. So it is a huge hit. It is all the other like it has all the momentum behind it. I think you're looking at Happy and Ordinary Love as huge spoilers.
Yeah.
That definitely. Would be huge. I think Let It Go is again, not necessarily. It's not a complete lock if you want to sort of roll the dice in a category, you can do it in this one, but I would say if you're gonna take some chances, do it in another category. I'm gonna put my money on Let It Go.
Yeah,
that's... which by the way is the one that deserves to win.
Exactly. I agree. and that's what I think we'll win too.
Okay, and I'm just psyched that we get to see it performed at the ceremony
with Idina.
Yes. Okay, Best original score: The Book Thief, Gravity, Her, Philomena, and Saving Mr. Banks. Adam?
I think it's going to be Gravity, but there is a possibility it could go to Philomena.
Yeah, I mean, Desplat, he's won before though, right? Desplat, he's won for,
He has
no, he's
not won.
never. Well, I think the music category could use its own Roger Deakins, don't you?
Yes. Well, it I mean, yes, it has. There's the argument that you could say, Desplat hasn't won before and it's his time, but also Thomas Newman has never won before and he's been nominated much more than Desplat, and he's nominated this year for Saving Mr. Banks. So I think it's Gravity. That movie, there's so much of that movie that is so many key elements to it, and the music is key to
Yeah.
it's to the experience. So
Especially in such a sound heavy film, you can't, it doesn't blend in. That's the thing. You're right. It's a key element, and it's an element that makes itself known. I don't
yeah.
think the Academy, as we just said moments ago, doesn't really appreciate subtlety. If
No.
they did, Her would be the lock for production design, 'cause it's so incredibly subtle and smart. It would also be nominated probably for best costumes, which I don't believe it is. So, no, it's not. So, yeah,
Should be.
it should be, but they don't recognize subtlety. So,
High
yeah, I
fans.
and, yeah, and I look, I like this. I bought the score for Gravity the moment it was available. I find it a little funny that the score for Her is nominated and you can't buy the score for Her. It's so weird why they don't release that, but so it goes.
I'm sure it has to do with figuring out the rights. Like, oh, if we release it, how much money do we have to give Arcade Fire? Oh,
Give them whatever
then
they
let's not
fucking want.
release
Yeah.
it.
Sigh.
Yeah.
All right. So you say Gravity. I say Gravity. I think
We all
Gravity
say
deserves.
gravity.
We all say Gravity. Wee! Best makeup and hairstyling. We have Dallas Buyers Club, Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa, and The Lone Ranger. Adam?
I think it goes to Dallas Buyers Club.
I think it does as well. Although, yeah, I think it does.
I mean,
I.
Bad Grandpa has a shot, but there's as has recently become known, Dallas Buyers Club is working on a makeup budget of $250. So I think, again, stories permeate the media
Oh,
and
narratives. People love
they're
narratives.
trying to get to those voters. And it not that it's not deserving. It's definitely, I mean, it's very impressive work for what they did. So
Yeah. I think we're all on the same page. Like, just don't give it to fucking Johnny Depp in his bird
yeah.
hat. Yeah. Okay. Moving on. I like that the makeup people gave him like in their own thing, not in the Academy, but like are giving him a special award, Johnny Depp a special award
Just
for makeup. It's like,
because he
let's
wears so much of
because he
it.
wears so much of it. It's gonna be so weird. It's like now a weird Johnny Depp movie is one where he just looks like a normal guy. Okay, so moving on to best foreign language film. The nominees are The Broken Circle Breakdown, The Great Beauty, The Hunt, The Missing Picture, and Omar. By the end of the week, I'm going to make it a point to see The Great Beauty and Broken Circle Breakdown because I have the opportunity to see both because I've already seen The Hunt, I've seen The Missing Picture, and I've seen Omar. And of the three I've seen, I think they're all good. Missing Picture blew my mind. Like, it's not a film that you say is good or bad or not. It's just, my review is on the site, but it's a film that's very, like, it's a dude telling his experience of being in the Khmer Rouge, basically murdering everyone he knows and loves. And you're like, I only give your pain a B. Like, you can't do that. That's not to say, like, oh, it should get the award then, but it's a powerful film. The Hunt is interesting. Omar is really good, but looking at the prognosticators, it looks like it's actually probably going to be between Broken Circle Breakdown and Great Beauty. Adam, what do you think? Have you seen any of these?
I haven't. I know that The Hunt and I think Broken Circle Breakdown are both on Netflix. I don't have the opportunity to see any of the others, but this is one of the tougher races actually, because it seems to be that The Hunt, Broken Circle Breakdown, and Great Beauty all have a strong chance of winning. I think it's gonna go. I'm going with Great Beauty because it won the BAFTA over Blue is the Warmest Color, which should have been nominated here.
Yeah, it wasn't nominated. For those who don't know, it wasn't nominated here because Academy rules are stupid.
Yeah, due to stupid eligibility rules.
Right.
So I'm on gut instinct. I'm going with The Great Beauty. I'd like to see it. I don't have an opportunity to, But
yeah, I didn't even know I'd have an opportunity to, and I was driving home and I saw it on the marquee of the local art house theater. I'm like, oh shit, well, I gotta go see Great Beauty now.
Yeah.
So and then I have the screener for Broken Circle Breakdown, which I've just been delaying on, which I can watch it this week. Anyway, moving on to best film editing, we have American Hustle, Captain Phillips. Oh, by the way, right now, having not seen either of those two films, I still think Great Beauty is the front runner to take it. Best film editing, American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, and 12 Years a Slave. Adam?
It is tough, but I'm going to go with Gravity. Generally speaking, best editing goes with best picture. Most often, the best editing winner is also the best picture winner. But in recent years, that has not been the case. They won for Social Network, won, and then the same cutters, Kirk Baxter and Angus Wall, won the next year for Dragon Tattoo, which no one predicted. So in the event that Gravity doesn't win, I think Captain Phillips has a decent shot. But again, you know, Gravity, technical categories, I think Gravity is going to come away with so many awards. So I think this will be one of them.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those make or break categories for me. And I think, you know, on the one hand, a lot of prognosticators, though, are saying a fair amount are saying Captain Phillips.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because, again, I don't think Gravity is going to win Best Picture. I agree it's going to come away with a lot of awards, but I don't think 12 Years is going to be in there because, again, subtle. But yeah, that's a tough one, and I'm not even really going to make a final verdict. But honestly, at this point, I would say Gravity. I mean, part of me wants to say Captain Phillips, but that's this emotion I'm having right now was the same, you know, Jennifer Lawrence, Emmanuel Riva thing, where it's just like, damn it, Goldberg, just go with your gut. Don't be anti-Adam. Just go with your gut, and you'll see how it pans out.
Every time I try to predict an upset over the past few years, it has not panned out. So
it just, oh, yeah, yeah. That's the thing. You can't really predict upsets. You just go for the close categories.
Yeah.
Like Christoph Waltz's original screenplay.
So
yeah.
I'm going with Christoph.
Exactly. Best documentary feature, The Act of Killing, Cutie and the Boxer, Dirty Wars, The Square, and 20 Feet from Stardom. Dirty Wars and The Square are both on Netflix, and they will both be watched by me this week. But it doesn't really matter in terms of the one I want to win, it doesn't matter. I mean, I will not rule out the possibility that Dirty Wars or The Square could be better than The Act of Killing, which was my favorite film of last year. So right now I'm saying The Act of Killing is the one I want to win. And this one's still kind of tricky, though. I mean, it seems right now it's a toss-up between Act of Killing and 20 Feet from Stardom. Is that correct, Adam?
Yeah, I still haven't made my final decision. I've seen both, and it's tough to... I mean, on the one hand, Act of Killing, crazy critical success. All the critics love it. Won a bunch of precursor awards. On the other hand, 20 Feet from Stardom, so charming, so fun, makes you feel.
And that's
good.
why I'm gonna put it on 20 Feet from Stardom.
Yeah,
I just feel like critical appraisal doesn't matter. It just bounces off the documentary category. For, you know, I mean, when you looked like a couple years ago when Paradise Lost 3 loses to Undefeated.
Yeah,
and let's be very clear, like I'm not saying Paradise Lost 3 is the best of them. But it's the conclusion. Like, if you're gonna talk about conclusions and you give all the awards to Return of the King, okay, and you recognize what something does as a sum, you give it to a film that literally saved someone's life.
Yeah.
And instead they gave it to a movie that's like, man, this white coach really helps out these black football players at this high school. And it, like, Undefeated is a charming, like, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I enjoyed it. It's a nice movie. It's an uplifting movie. It's 20 Feet from Stardom.
Well, yeah, same with Searching for Sugar Man beating Invisible War and How to Survive a Plague.
Basically four movies that matter.
Yeah.
Although you could at least make the argument that I suppose that those four movies just canceled each other out because they're all mean something, and then you have Searching for Sugar Man just being charming and fun, which, and again, I think we both like Searching for Sugar Man.
Yeah, yeah. I
but
mean, it's a very interesting story, and
it is, but it's not a weighty story. And I think, again, I'm with you. I think, well, you haven't decided.
Yeah, my current have won before. I mean, The Cove won. You know, so Inconvenient Truth won, but again, No End in Sight didn't win, which is mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, well, to me, the Inconvenient Truth isn't... To me, that's not that hard edge. That's more like, let's give Al Gore an Oscar. Wouldn't that be weird? And it's like, yes, it would be.
I think especially I'm leaning towards 20 Feet from Stardom now, and that's probably what I'm going to end up saying.
Yeah. Okay. And, I mean, I'm curious, just, I like to be as well-informed as I can on all the categories, so that's why I'm, even though I don't think Dirty Wars or The Square will win, or usurp my decision for what I think should win, I still want to see them. You want to have, you know, you want to have as much knowledge as possible.
Sure, if, and they're know. Both on Netflix.
Exactly, and they're so easily available. That's yeah. the other thing. I don't have to go out of my way. All right. I'm going to skip a little bit. Best Costume Design. Nominees are American Hustle, The Grandmaster, The Great Gatsby, The Invisible Woman, and 12 Years a Slave. Adam?
I think it's Gatsby.
You think it's Gatsby?
I think it's Gatsby, but I reserve the right to change to American Hustle. Right now I have Hustle winning nothing, so I think I might put Hustle in this.
It's such an optimistic thought, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, but it's not, though, because when you look at Silver Linings, like Jennifer Lawrence is the only Oscar that movie won, so...
No, I'm saying optimistic in that I don't really want America. I don't think American Hustle deserves to win in any category that it's nominated in.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying that, like, it's not, like...
And I don't hate American Hustle. That's the thing. I don't hate it, but... Yeah. But, yeah, I again, I'm going to go with you on... I think that one's a tough one. In fact, that's going to be one I sort of waver on for a little while because, you know, the costumes are so flashy and part of the charm and they're big and bold. And yes, that's Gatsby as well. It's tough to say. I right now I'm with Gatsby, but I reserve the right to change to Hustle.
Yeah.
Best Cinematography. The Grandmaster, by the way, I heard The Grandmaster was terrible, so I didn't bother to see it. I think this is some good Weinstein campaigning right here for that film. But anyway, The Grandmaster, Gravity, Inside Llewyn Davis, Nebraska, and Prisoners are your nominees for Best Cinematographer, Best Cinematography, my apologies. Adam, what do you think is going to win?
Lupez. It's got to be Chivo for Gravity.
It's got to be Gravity.
Has he won before? Yeah. I think this will be his first one, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right. I think it will be his first win.
And he shot some incredible movies. Tree of Life, Children of Men.
He's got game. He's got game.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, he's never nominated six times.
Yeah, so unfortunately, Mr. Deakins, it's going to have to wait for another year, which I'm sure you will be. You're never going to go away. You're
but
too talented.
It's serendipitous that he should win for a movie like Prisoners. Like, that's kind of what the Academy does, where it's like, it's not the best, but, you know, you deserve
it. It's his time, yeah, but I think
it for Skyfall.
Should have gotten it for so many films. Yes. But yeah, Skyfall, definitely. I'm with you. I think this is such a... From a technical perspective, this is Gravity's year, so hardcore.
Because they invented most of what they did. They had to
when you invent things, that also helps.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to put my money on Gravity for this one.
Yeah.
Best Animated Feature, The Croods. Adam's favorite film, Despicable Me 2. Ernest and Celestine, Frozen, and The Wind Rises. Adam, what do you think?
Frozen.
You know, I got to say Frozen.
Wind Rises is a possibility.
That's the thing. I think The Wind, especially because I would say it was a possibility because it's Miyazaki's last film, you know, purportedly final film, except he already won for Spirited Away. So they have honored him in the past. You know, this isn't like a, if we don't honor him now, we never will kind of deal. So I think that kind of moves it aside. As we've said in the past, money talks.
Yeah.
And Frozen has made a lot of money.
Box office matters.
And I haven't seen Ernest and Celestine, so I don't know if it deserves to win more than Frozen, but I love the hell out of Frozen.
Yeah.
So I would hope Frozen wins. And one day I might see Ernest and Celestine and be like, oh, I was wrong. But for now. Okay. Now into the super uninteresting acting categories, although we have some debate here, over Best Actress in a Supporting Role. Your nominees are Sally Hawkins, Jennifer Lawrence, Lupita Nyong'o, Julia Roberts, and June Squibb. Adam, who do you think will win?
I think Lupita will win, but I will not be surprised if Jennifer Lawrence wins.
I think Lupita will win, and I will be surprised if Florence wins. I won't be I won't be floored. I won't be floored, but I will be like, I'll have that mix of like resentment.
It'll be again because you didn't predict her for Best Actress last year. It'll just
and you know what? It'll be perfect because it'll be perfect because who can get mad at Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah, exactly.
She's too charming. No, yeah, I just.
And the sad thing about it is, if she wins, people are going to be so upset with her, and she's done nothing. Like, she's just her. Like, it's not like she's been campaigning like crazy or anything. People just like her, and they can't help themselves.
Yeah, and now this is part of the backlash. No, it's total bullshit. No, I think. I think it'll be Nyong'o not only because she has a lot of momentum. Yes, BAFTA went for Lawrence, but. You know, Nyong'o's been really good on the awards circuit. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you said, like, her SAG acceptance speech was really good. Mm-hmm. And so I think it edges towards her. I think that Lawrence is charming and all of that, but I have trouble seeing it going her way 2 years in a row for a performance this light. Like, this isn't Russell Crowe going back-to-back with Gladiator and... No, what was it? He did back-to-back years and nominations for what? It was like A Beautiful,
Beautiful Mind
and Gladiator, right?
Yeah.
It's not that. It's not that where you're like, you're the lead performance and like your film is going to win Best Picture. American Hustle might win, but I assume, you know what I mean here, right, Adam?
Yeah.
We're talking about the importance of the performance to the success of the movie that probably is going to win. So I think it's going to be Nyong'o. I'm not going to be floored if Florence wins, but I will be like, grrr. Best actor in supporting role, Barkhad Abdi, Bradley Cooper, Michael Fassbender, Jonah Hill, and Jared Leto. Who wins?
Leto. It's gotta be Leto. Which he's very good in it, but I still think Fassbender is deserving.
I 100% agree. And
I mean, it's a good category, honestly, though, because Barkhad Abdi, I mean, that's a great story. He's really great in that movie, too. And I thought Jonah was really good in Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, yes, yeah, it's a more comic, like, loud performance, but...
Honestly, I gotta say, though, I think he deserves this more for an acting nomination more for Wolf of Wall Street than he did for Moneyball.
Yeah,
like, he's not bad in Moneyball.
Nomination for Moneyball.
I didn't understand it at all, either. I mean, more power to the guy. I mean,
sure, yeah, he's a good actor, but that part was not big, and he didn't really do anything mind-blowing with it.
Exactly. It wasn't like Lawrence's part in American Hustle isn't huge, but she like sort of pops off the screen every time she's there.
Yeah.
The Jonah Hill and Moneyball is just very much like he's kind of just a plot point. He's just a plot device. But in any event, he did deserve it for Wolf of Wall Street, but
definitely.
It is Leto's year. Okay. Best actress in a leading role, Amy Adams, Kate Blanchett, Sandra Bullock, Judi Dench, and Meryl Streep. Who wins?
Blanchett with the performance of the year.
From all the best overall performance.
From anything. Kate. Anything. And TV, movies, male, female, dog. It's insane.
Oh, fuck it. Oh, come on. Did you see the latest Air Buddy movie?
How dare
you?
I did not.
I was brought to tears when the dog kicked the soccer ball. Okay. But Kate Blanchett was good too, so. She wins. Okay, best actor in a leading role. Christian Bale, Bruce Dern, Leonardo DiCaprio, Chiwetel Ejiofor, and Matthew McConaughey. Who wins?
Another good category.
I think McConaughey takes it,
but I mean, this one leading up to it was one of the tougher categories to predict, especially when Tom Hanks and Robert Redford were in the mix. I think it's between McConaughey, Ejiofor... Really, McConaughey, Ejiofor, Dern, or DiCaprio, I wouldn't be shocked if any of them won, but McConaughey has had such momentum. He's been doing incredible work on True Detective every single week, which is free campaigning, free exposure, free reminder that he's hit an insane stride. He's having a really, really great run. So I think McConaughey takes it.
I think he does as well. It's just, I honestly think if True Detective wasn't on right now, I think it'd be a closer race. because then he'd just be another guy campaigning. But when you see that caliber work, when you see him on a TV show and he's better in the TV show than he is in the movie, and you're like, well, shit. Yeah. And again, it's not just True Detective. It's also the McConaissance.
Yeah.
To borrow that term. It's Magic Mike. It's Mud. It's Wolf of Wall Street. It's everything that he's been doing. And so it's not just for Dallas Buyers Club. It's a culmination. And I don't think any... And also, I think, who doesn't want to see him go up there and go, all right, all right?
Yeah.
I do.
He's going to. You know those are the first three words out of his mouth.
I'll be upset. If those aren't his first words, they have to take the award back.
Yes. They are obligated to take it back.
All right. Circling back to Best Director... The nominees are David O. Russell for American Hustle, Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity, Alexander Payne for Nebraska, Steve McQueen for 12 Years a Slave, and Martin Scorsese for The Wolf of Wall Street. Adam?
Cuarón. It was a little tougher before between Cuarón and McQueen, but Cuarón took the DGA. He's been taking all of the precursor director awards, and that's such a... I mean, they're both director-driven films, but Gravity, I mean, did that... Like 4 years of just nothing.
They invented shit.
Yeah.
They invented shit.
Yes.
They invented shit and they made it work.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I think it's a labor of love. Not to say that anyone else isn't like it is in the fact that you had to love in order to labor this much to make this film made. Like you had to love the fact that you couldn't get it made because shit didn't exist in the world for you to make it.
Yeah.
You had to make. And so, yeah, I think now, again, if any of them won other than Russell, I would be fine. Maybe Scorsese not so. I mean, to me, if Scorsese won, it would be like, this is an award you should have gotten for another film you were nominated for. But you have two Oscars. We won't say for what, but you have two now.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's going to be Cuarón. All right. And now we come to the Best Picture category. For those who need a reminder, the nominees are American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and The Wolf of Wall Street. It's a tough year, and it's exciting that it's a tough year because I can't remember the last year. I guess, what was the last year where it was like it seemed like it would be close? I think, was it 2006 and Crash? No, 2005, right?
Yeah, Crash and Brokeback.
Crash and Brokeback. That was pretty...
Yeah, it was... I mean, this is definitely the closest...
I mean, it's split. It was a split. Yeah. No, it wasn't a split. Yes, it was, because...
Crash and Brokeback was a split, yeah.
Yeah. Paul Haggis doesn't have a fucking directing award.
No, just a screenwriter award.
Yes. Much better. Much better. So, yes, this year... So Adam, what are your thoughts? I have three ways of thinking about this category, but what about you? What are you thinking about Best Picture?
Philomania all the way.
Philomania!
I think it's going to be Gravity. Every time the prognosticators have predicted a split, it hasn't happened. And the preferential ballot system is what leans me towards Gravity. Gravity is a film that even people who don't love it or aren't as over the moon about it appreciate its technical prowess and therefore are more likely to rank it higher on their list. Whereas the people that don't like 12 Years a Slave don't like 12 Years a Slave. They are not big fans of it overall, and I feel like they're more likely to put it down. But this one, I mean, has there ever been a tie in Academy history? I think that is something.
No, there hasn't. Not for Best Picture, there hasn't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but if there ever was a time for it to happen, it would be this year because it's so close between 12 Years and Gravity. But I think the preferential ballots puts Gravity just over the edge. So I'm going with Gravity.
Okay, I have three ways of thinking about this. The first is your way. I think, you know, Gravity has had the front runner edge, like a paper thin edge over it, just, you know, from various bodies and buzz and so forth. And you're right. However, I would say, in terms of people don't like, I mean, this is anecdotally, but I know people who just fucking think, you know, they think Gravity is an action movie. Like, they think the story is laughably bad. And they can appreciate the technical craft, but, like, that's like saying, well, but I'm also going to give Transformers an Oscar. You know, it's that kind of thing. And I'm not saying like that's how everyone in the Academy is thinking, but I've heard that line of thinking from people. I think you're right. I think 12 years. I mean, 12 years, though, it's a film where, you know, you don't like it, then you're right. You probably leave it off your ballot entirely. But I think you can do the same for Gravity. It is very close. So on the one hand, I would say if I were going to look at it from a mathematical standpoint, the choice is Gravity. If I look from it from a cynical standpoint, the winner is American Hustle, because through the preferential ballot system and through sort of Gravity and 12 Years a Slave taking votes away from each other, American Hustle kind of squeezes itself in there, both, you know, from the fact that those two films are splitting and on the strength of the Academy's acting block. But my gut, and what my gut has been telling me for months, is that 12 Years a Slave wins Best Picture. I just feel that that's going to happen. And if I don't go with my gut on this one, I'm going to, like, kick my... Look, no, here's the thing. Even if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But my gut tells me 12 Years a Slave is the Academy's way that they're going to... I know people, like, every time they predict a split vote, but when was the last time that the PGA split? Never happened. We're looking at an unprecedented year. From the moment the PGA split, I'm saying all bets are off. And for me, 12 Years a Slave wins.
PGA doesn't have anything to do with Best Director, I wouldn't say.
It doesn't have anything to do with Best Director. No, but what I'm saying is we're talking about the normal flow of award season.
Sure.
And we're talking about PGA decides Best Pick. You know, that's what we're talking about. And we're saying a split vote because DGA was settled. What I'm saying is unprecedented. What this year happened when the PGA split, that was unprecedented in the award season that we know.
Yeah.
And a lot of things changed. You know, Gravity and 12 Years a Slave had big targets painted on their back from the get-go, and yet here we are 4 or 5 months later, you know, and that we're still back to them. So I'm saying 12 Years a Slave because I also feel that I always count on people to cover their asses. And the way you cover your ass to say that we're not racist and that we acknowledge that this is kind of the Schindler's List for slavery, but a better movie, is 12 Years a Slave is the best film of this year. It is the most important film ever, the best film to mainstream film about slavery. And while Gravity is a technical triumph, that's why Cuarón has a Best Director award. To me, it's a matter of being able to recognize both pictures and therefore cover their ass both ways.
Sure.
That's how I think it's going to go. That is my gut. So the logic says Gravity. The cynic says American Hustle. I'm saying 12 Years a Slave.
No,
that's my choice. I mean,
I don't disagree with anything you're saying. And I could go either way, too. I think 12 Years a Slave is more deserving. I think 12 Years a Slave deserves it more than Gravity. If anything hurt 12 Years a Slave, it might have been its recent campaign, which was It's Time, which some took issue with.
Like, it just, yeah, I take issue with that. I don't know who.
So, I mean, depending on how the voters felt about that. Again, it's a campaign. This is not the be all end all. If the Oscars say Gravity is the best year of 2013 or best movie of 2013, that doesn't mean that Gravity is the best movie of 2013.
Right. And I will say, if Gravity beats 12 Years a Slave, I won't. I mean, I ranked it higher on my top 10 than 12 Years a Slave. But as we've talked in them before, like at that point, the ranking just becomes so silly.
Yeah. Just
either way, either way, I'm happy. And hey, maybe one day, maybe we'll get to see an Oscar from an alternate universe where Her wins Best Picture, and we'll be like, yay!
That would be my vote, honestly. I would probably
that's my choice. Who I think should win?
Yeah.
Of the 9 nominees, yes, that's who should win Best Picture. But we're really in a 2.5 way race.
I will not be surprised if 12 Years wins. And I will, again, like you said at the beginning of the podcast, I will not be unhappy if 12 Years wins, and I will not be unhappy if Gravity wins. If American Hustle wins, I'll be a little unhappy.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't. I feel like it's another silver linings. I think people are going to understand that, you know, it's fun and it's flighty and it's charming, but it's hollow. There's nothing there, really. And exactly. Everyone's saying, like, oh, it got nominations in every single acting category. So did Silver Linings Playbook. And it won for Lawrence. That's it.
This ain't network, people.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Okay, cool. Well, we've gone through all 24. We got to get some recommendations to get to, motherfucker. Yeah. Adam, what do you got?
I am recommending a previous Best Picture nominee as the 1935 musical comedy Top Hat. This is another Ginger Rogers, Fred Astaire comedy musical. It's very funny. Fred Astaire plays an American dancer who travels to London to star in a show by this kind of eccentric producer. It's one of those kind of comedy of errors. He meets Ginger Rogers' character and falls in love with her, but she thinks he's really the producer, but he's not the producer. He's the star, and he does some tap dancing, and they dance to Cheek to Cheek, and it's very sweet and charming and fun, and it's got some really good musical numbers in it. It's a classic. If you haven't seen it, I highly suggest checking it out. It's very fun. It's very entertaining. And it was one of the first Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers movies. And if you want kind of a blowback of what Best Picture nominees used to look like in 1935, this is Top Hat. Take a look.
Okay. I am recommending 1943's The Oxbow Incident, which this was back when there were 10 nominees in each category. This lost to some stupid movie named Casablanca. So if you're going to lose to something, lose to Casablanca, because you're just going to be Casablanca and every other movie in 1943. It's like, what's even the point? But this one, actually, that's the thing. We look at these films that were nominated for Best Picture, and some of them don't hold up at all. You can go as far back as 2 years, as 1 year to see a film that doesn't hold up at all. Oxbow Incident is 70 years old and holds up very well. It's the story of it's a Western, takes place in Nevada in 1885, and stars Henry Fonda as this guy who kind of gets roped into a posse, reluctantly runs into a posse because this rancher has been supposedly killed. There's word that he's been killed, and that rustlers have stolen his cattle, and that the rustlers have been tracked down, these three rustlers. And so this posse, with this thirst for bloodlust and vengeance, tracks down these three guys, and they don't know if these are the guilty parties. They don't know if it was three guys or what, but they see enough circumstantial evidence, despite the protests of these men, that it's like, we are going to lynch you, basically. this is just these three guys they find, and it's mostly in this one location of where they find them, and it's just a fascinating film about justice and a very cynical thing. And it's kind of interesting when you put this film next to 12 Angry Men, and 12 Angry Men would come later in Henry Fonda's career. So in a way, he became more optimistic that people, when put together, could be just in their estimations of accused parties. Oxbow Incident is very dark and cynical and sad, but it's absolutely engrossing. The performances are tremendous. So I highly recommend checking out 1943's The Oxbow Incident. Okay, so thank you, everyone, for listening to our supersized Oscar podcast. If you want to keep up with us on Twitter, if you want to keep up with the podcast, you should follow us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Matt Goldberg. Adam, where can we find you on Twitter?
@AdamChitwood.
All right, thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll be back with you next week.
Thanks, guys.